Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Talking man, bringing you the scoop like no one else can. Silicon Valley to Tokyo, he's got the lowdown, got nowhere to go. Talking man, breaking it down, Geek News Central all around town. Get your gadgets, get your geek on. Tech Talking Man, he's never out of step. I get educated by the Tech Talking Man.
Here we are, the Tech Talking Man. With this as our lead story tonight, VidToPod offers an innovative solution for YouTube creators aiming to extend their content's reach by effortlessly converting video playlists into high-quality audio podcasts. This new service by Blueberry Podcasting is a boon for YouTube first creators or video first creators, enabling them to tap into a new audience and ensure their content is accessible across all major podcast platforms. The process involves a simple integration with your YouTube account, selection of a playlist for conversion, and instant distribution across platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon. That and many, many more stories tonight. You're listening to Geek News Central. Yes, with the Tech Talking Man, episode 1731, coming to this Monday, March 18th. I'm your host, Todd Cochran. A big shout out to our primary sponsor at GoDaddy.com. Grab their deals at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And to all of our awesome listeners, you're the real MVPs. Contribute your time, talent, or treasure at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider by becoming a GNC insider. We're live and lit with modern podcast apps from podcastapps.com. Join our value for value movement by downloading and using a modern podcast app. And of course, dive into our digital hub. Our digital hub is easy to find. Get over to geeknewscentral.com, geeknewscentral.com. Don't forget to check out our partner shows, all linked up at Geek News Central. That includes Don Bain, the Gadget Professor, includes Kirk Corliss and Scott in the GNC Week in Review. Definitely check those out. Of course, the new media show of myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee. We're live again. Get on board and don't forget to follow and subscribe via your modern podcast app and sign up for the newsletter while you're at it. You can always join the chat room. The chat room is available at geeknews.chat and have feedback for the show. It's very, very simple. Email geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or via X at Geek News. That's the easiest way to catch up or catch me on Facebook. And a massive salute to GoDaddy, the longest running continued sponsor of a podcast where savings begin. Go to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Lock in those podcast savings, those domain savings, hosting savings, whatever it may be. Definitely get connected here. Again, get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. $11.99 for a new domain name. $6.99 a month economy hosting with a free domain, professional email, and an SSL certificate for the first year. $6.99 a month economy hosting or $12.99 a month managed WordPress hosting. Again, you get a free domain with that, professional email, an SSL certificate for the first year. If none of those three options sound good to you yet, free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. That's a 1 month free trial. Again, $11.99 for new domain name, $6.99 a month economy hosting, $12.99 a month managed WordPress hosting, or that free trial of GoDaddy website builder. Your support of this sponsor keeps me really in business, keeps the lights on, keeps the insurance paid. Everything that's happening here pays the rent, and it's greatly appreciated anytime you use a product from GoDaddy. Definitely share my codes with friends, family, people that you know. Don't write them on the bathroom wall. We don't want you to do that, but definitely share them in in your open chat sessions in Slack or whatever you're doing for online work, when you hear someone thinking about starting a business, again, your support here keeps this podcast online and the independent writing team employed. Again, thank you for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. So first and foremost, what did you think of that intro? What did you think about that? Was that interesting? How did I create that? It took me 5 minutes to create that intro. app.suno.ai, app.suno.ai. Go back and listen to it again. I'm going to play it. It's pretty original, don't you think? It's 30 seconds, but this thing created this with just my input of saying, write an intro for the Geek News Central podcast, a twice weekly podcast that shares news and information for the common man and woman. But anyway, just listen to this again.
Oh, hey, hey, it's the Tech Talking Man, bringing you the scoop like no one else can. Silicon Valley to Tokyo, he's got the lowdown, got nowhere to go. Tech Talking Man, breaking it down. Geek News Central all around town. Get your gadgets, get your geek on. Tech Talking Man, he's never upset like it. Educated by the Tech Talking Man.
Not bad, huh? For a first shot? I couldn't get a better one. I tried 4 or 5 times afterwards, and I couldn't get anything better than that. So, yes, the Tech Talking Man. I thought it was pretty good. I really did. app.suno.ai, blown away. One of my team members shared with me this morning. He said he spent 6 hours. 6 hours making jingles and stuff last night. And he's actually kind of a little bit of a musician. He says this is just the beginning. And that's all AI generated, ladies and gentlemen. All AI generated. Cool? I think it's cool. Now, what wasn't cool, I dropped my daughter off the other night and I slipped and I fell. And I think I cracked a rib right over here, the top one. I actually heard it. I'm pretty sure it was a rib and not a muscle. It might be a muscle. I don't know. Hurts when I cough. Hurts when I sneeze. Hurts when I laugh. Hurts when I move too much. I don't think it's a big crack, though. But I definitely feel it. And I got a little black and blue here, too. So, yeah, no fun for me. Hey, I'm going out on a limb here today, just so you know. You guys know I never, ever really heavily promote stuff that I launch at Blueberry. I talk about it a little bit, but I'm so excited about what we launched this afternoon that I just want to share it as my lead story. And again, you guys know how many episodes I've done and how many times have I led with something that we did. I can, you know, 1 or 2 times, maybe I talked about it during the show. But we launched this product today called VidToPod, and it's purely for YouTubers. Or maybe in the near future, another platform or two. But what it does, it bridges a gap between video and audio, ensuring YouTube content is available to podcast listeners on podcast apps they love and trust. What we do is we're able to have folks come in on a YouTuber, come in and sign up for an account, just a regular podcast hosting account. And what they do is they enter their YouTube username. In my instance, at Geek News. And then we pull up, you have to verify it's your account, certify that. And then we present a playlist, and you pick a playlist, and then you pick whether a start date for all back videos. Now, with Geek News Central, I would never do that because we're already doing live on YouTube, so I don't need to do this. And but for YouTubers that don't have a podcast, they select a playlist and a start date or all back episodes. And then we pull all that video back into Blueberry, convert it to audio. They have to sign sometimes the terms of service saying there's no YouTube music. There's, you know, there's some criteria here because those licenses don't transfer. And bring that content over into Blueberry. And we then create a podcast episode automatically from that content that is automatically ready to go. It's able to be distributed in Apple Podcasts. But again, the terms of service are really important for anyone that's coming over. They have to read that and agree to it. So what we're trying to do here is flip the script a little bit. We make it easy so YouTubers can effortlessly publish podcast episodes from video playlists. And what's beautiful about this is next time they put up a new video in their playlist, we just grab it. We pull the metadata, we pull the description, we pull the title, description, and the chapters, pull that into an episode and convert it, and then automatically publish. They don't have to do anything. It's a set it and forget it. And if you're a YouTube first creator looking to expand your reach, again, VidDePod is a set it, forget the video to audio podcasting tool available as part of our advanced hosting. $20 a month. Now, if you create a lot of YouTube, again, depends on how much content, you may need a bigger hosting plan, but the majority of people will be able to come right in at $20 and be good. So we are definitely super excited about this. And because what we were told again and again by YouTubers, I don't have time to create another publishing episode. I don't have time to do this whole other process. There's lots of things that are podcast to YouTube, but this is the first YouTube to podcast. So if you are a listener of this show today and you have a favorite YouTube quote unquote podcast that you love, go tell them about this. Go tell them about this new service. Tell them, I want to be able to listen to your show on such and such podcast app. When I'm at the gym, when I'm in the car, some YouTube content, let's be straight up, some YouTube content is designed not to be watched. Or it is designed to be watched. But some YouTube content can be watched or listened to. And for those shows that are on YouTube, that call themselves podcasts, that aren't on Apple Podcasts or not in any of the other platforms, we have a solution for them now. And the best part about this is build a wider audience, increase the content's availability, maximize your content's potential, effortless conversion, high-quality audio files. You can monetize immediately. We distribute you everywhere. Great analytics. And there's even additional opportunities. Monetize on day one. You do not have to reach the 4,000 hour threshold level. Turn on programmatic today. You can do premium content. If you want, you can upgrade your account and create a true video podcast. Participate in value for value. And never need to worry about a platform taking down your content. Once we get it into our system, your podcast RSS feed is available anywhere, anytime, and you can't be deplatformed. And we give customers a free WordPress website if they don't have they're not building their brand yet or not. So this is to me, is one of the most exciting things that we have brought to market in a very, very long time. So I hope that if you are a video creator first and you want to up your game, I have a link in the show notes for you. Or just go to the website, search vid2pod and get engaged with us. We definitely We definitely think this is a great product offering. And again, if you are a podcaster and you're posting your stuff to YouTube, you're already with us for a regular hosting account. So I think this is really about opening up. You've got your YouTube audience, but again, some people would rather listen, and why not make it easy for them to listen on the podcast app of their choice? This is a no-brainer. $20 a month, set it and forget it. And yes, when someone asks you, where's your podcast channel? You said, wherever podcasts are listened to. That's the beauty of this. So anyway, been sitting on this for a while. Came back from PodFest. And really, this is the feedback we'd gotten from some podcasters there. I don't have time. You know, I really didn't know what to think about it. And Barry Kantz, our CFO legal officer, he said, hey, why don't we bring the content over? And, you know, I kind of like, oh, man, simple, easy peasy. And the team put it together in a relatively quick time. Matter of fact, the dev team finished before the product team did. And we were racing to get, you know, all the paperwork together and, you know, value add. And I think it just makes sense. So anyway, that's what we got going on. That was what I did today. It was a big thing. And if you're on YouTube watching live and you think it's cool, make sure you say hello. Check in with us, make a comment in the chat, and love to hear your feedback. I posted a post on Facebook, on Twitter, so I look forward to hearing that. All right, let's continue to move on here with the regular tech news that's going on. Again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to let me toot my own horn just a little bit here. And geeknews@gmail.com. What do you think of that intro song? I won't be using that all the time. But the talking tech man, I thought that was pretty cool. SpaceX is supposedly building hundreds of spy satellites for U.S. government, a report says. Satellites to track targets on the ground for U.S. intelligence as part of a $1.8 billion contract signed in 2021. Makes sense. I have no doubt. The interdispersed amongst those SpaceX, you know, Starlink, there's probably a few National Reconnaissance Office satellites aboard. Surveillance satellites. Chinese are pissed. I don't care. Tough. The satellites can track targets on the ground and share data with U.S. intelligence, the military officials, sources said. Whoever those sources are, by the way, should be strung up. Leaking stuff you shouldn't be leaking. The newly reported details are consistent with a Wall Street Journal report in February of 2024 that SpaceX had entered into a $1.8 billion classified contract. Reuters wrote that it was unable to determine when the new network satellites would come online, but stated that about a dozen prototype satellites have been launched in the past few years. We know SpaceX has deployed thousands of low Earth orbit satellites, so it's part of SpaceX Star Shield. So Chinese are mad. So they're going to figure it out on their own. Low Earth orbit, easily replaceable. Brilliant. Meanwhile, Computer World says AI is to create a half billion new jobs. But the question is, how many will be lost? Over the next day, generative artificial intelligence replace a lot of jobs, they say some jobs, but as always been the case with revolution technologies from the steam engine to digitization, is destined to create far more jobs than it eliminates. I don't know if I believe that. Gen AI is expected to democratize jobs. That is, a technology to enable employees without computer science degrees to create applications. We'll see. Using AI augmented coding, already many companies see the possibility as Gen AI's low-hanging fruit. Mark Kashif, an AI consultant, prompt engineer in Fiverr, an online freelance marketplace, believes Gen AI will create jobs that today can't even be imagined. Areas such as AI development, data analysis, and AI ethics are all fields likely to see a boom because of Gen AI adoption. And yes, we're getting ready to launch our AI product, the Blueberry, later in the week. I don't know if I'll lead the story on Thursday on that or not, but we're excited to get that on the street. One new role that this individual came across recently was that of agent engineer, whose responsibility is to create AI assistance for a company using chatbots and AI agent no-code tools. This never existed, and we're going to see tons of these new roles just like this pops up in the next 5 years. But at the same time, I've been trying myself. I've just been playing around here and have been able to do my own agents to a certain extent. So how much of that will we need outsourced? I don't know. I really, really don't. Hey, take it just a second here to thank our insiders. From last show to this show, we've had no new insider donations, but we have had some folks who have been streaming sats via these new podcast apps. Darren Schwartz has been in there at 100 sats a minute. I want to thank you, Darren, for streaming sats the show. And it's been definitely appreciated when you do that. Now, if you want to do like Darren does in supporting the show, it's 100 sats. 100 sats is about, I think, with the current Bitcoin, about 3 cents a minute, I think is what it boils down to. You know, can you afford 3 cents a minute to support the show? Grab yourself one of the new podcast apps at podcastapps.com. And if I provide value to you in this podcast, then consider becoming an insider with a monthly recurring donation. $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25. We definitely appreciate it when you consider doing that and supporting the show that way and value for value. Or contribute your time and talent. Sending me these cool ideas like this, you know, this audio music generator that I played with today. That came from a team member. And I'm sure some of you are playing with some cool AI tools. What are you playing with? Let me know. So Live Podcast Media, thank you so much for the congratulations on YouTube. Definitely appreciate that. All right, moving on here. YouTube now requires creators to label AI-generated content. Starting Monday, today, YouTube creators will be required to label when realistic-looking videos were made using AI. I'm real. Part of a broader effort by the company to be transparent about content that could otherwise confuse or mislead users. When a user uploads a video to the site, they will see a checklist asking if their content makes a real person say or do something they didn't do, alters footage of a real place or event, or depicts a realistic looking scene that didn't actually occur. Disclosure is meant to help prevent users from being confused by synthetic content amid a proliferation of new consumer-facing generative AI tools that make it quick and easy to create compelling text, images, video, and audio that can be hard to distinguish from the real thing. The music today was from AI. Online safety experts raised alarms that the proliferation of AI-generated content could confuse and mislead users across the internet, especially ahead of the elections. YouTube creators will be required to identify when their videos contain AI-generated, otherwise manipulated content that appears realistic. All of my AI, all my art on YouTube is being generated by generative AI. I can't create any of that. So if you're a YouTube creator, you'll have to disclose. Meanwhile, Elon is basically drinking his own Kool-Aid. He complained about OpenAI so much that Elon Musk Grok AI has been open sourced. Code available is on GitHub. Musk had previously stated that Grok would go open source this week, saying the move will allow developers research to look into the model and build upon it and possibly influence its future iterations. Grok is owned by xAI, another Musk company, and marks the entrepreneur's second foray into AI. Of course, he was one of the co-founders of OpenAI, and he walked away from it. And there's a whole story about that that's quite extensive and quite thrilling. If you see the interweavings of everything going on, you'll kind of understand why Musk has done some of the stuff he has done. And some of it may be a little bit in a temper tantrum method, but, you know, it is what it is. There's a new attack used to steal your passwords by the sound of your keystrokes. Two researchers from Augusta University in Georgia demonstrate a novel way to steal people's passwords that even put James Bond to shame. According to the researchers, the way to deduce a person's password or any other word that's typed in computer by simply listening to them type. Huh. The method is not accurate as some other channel attacks, as the research suggests the accuracy of the attack is around 43%. To pull it off, all the attacker would need is a relative small sample of the victim's typing, just a few seconds apparently, but would need more than one recording. Furthermore, they would need an English dictionary. The mitigating circumstance here is that the recording doesn't have to be particularly clean. It could have significant background. In theory, a theater actor could place a smartphone or small microphone-equipped device in the relative vicinity of the victim and record them typing from that recording. They may have established certain patterns which could be used to determine potential words. Now, if they get it 43% of the way there, they can just look at it and probably get an idea where it's headed. Meanwhile, Fujitsu said it was hacked and warns of a data breach. Another one. Here we go. Fujitsu says, we've confirmed the presence of malware on multiple work computers at our company. As a result of an internal investigation, we discovered that files containing personal information and customer information could be illegally taken out, said Fujitsu in his statement on its website translated from Japanese. Fujitsu said it disconnected affected systems from its network. So here we go again. And if you're a Windows 11 user, this is even more fun. Beware, the latest Windows 11 update might give you the blue screen of death. Microsoft releases routine updates for Windows every month. And while the intent is to fix issues and occasionally add new features, the latest one is doing more harm than good, just like one in the past, in the fall. Some Windows 11 users taking social media report that the KB5035853 update could be crashing their PC with the feared blue screen of death appearing on startup. There's a Reddit thread on the matter. Frustrated Windows 11 users mention the problem they're experiencing after installing the update. One mentions that Explorer.exe shows an error during shutdown, and another reports that the ribbon of File Explorer is slow to load. So while not every computer is perfect, a good opportunity to switch to a Mac. You know, come on, you got to get this right. Not saying Apple's perfect. Knock on wood. They still lock up. Browsers still lock up. It still has, sometimes I have to go over to the little Apple button, and I have to go force quit on an application from time to time. But it's relatively rare. I was having a specific website that was causing issues with my browser the other day. I had a simple solution. I closed the tab. Don't have to deal with that. If they have something on their website that's causing issues, probably not good. Wasn't the computer, it was the website. Not surprisingly, Homeland Security is testing AI to help with immigration, trafficking investigations, and disaster relief. Through partnerships with OpenAI, Anthropic, and Meta, Department of Homeland Security will test out AI models to help its agents with a wide array of tasks, including investigating child sex abuse materials, training immigration officials, and creating disaster relief plans. FEMA will use generative AI to streamline the hazard mitigation planning process for local governments. Homeland Security, ICE, or HSI, the agency within ICE, that investigates child exploitation, will use large language models to quickly search through vast stores of data and summarize its investigative reports. Who's going to QA all that? And U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, the agent that conducts introductory screenings for asylum seekers, will use chatbots to train officers. So, got to have good data in, and someone's got to review the outputs. This is what we've done in our AI. We put warnings on every output that you need to QA every output to make sure that it's not running home to mom and telling something it shouldn't be. The U.S. government seems serious about developing a lunar economy. You know, the military is serious when the guy running their program is nicknamed Orbit. The National Reconnaissance Office, which is known for a lot of cool things. Excuse me, DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Project Agent. NRO is pretty cool, too. DARPA has stepped in to help. This is important because DARPA is a key supporter of emerging technologies, a tracker of success. Last year, the defense agency announced it's initiating LUNA, LUNA-10, to understand how to best facilitate a thriving lunar economy by 2035. In December, DARPA announced it was working with 14 different companies under the LUNA 10, including major space players such as Northrop Grumman and SpaceX, as well as non-space firms such as Nokia. These companies are assessing how services such as power and communications can be established on the moon. They divide a final report by June. So, getting ready to colonize Mars. Meanwhile, in the United Kingdom, the government wants flying taxis to take off in 2 years. The Future of Flight Action Plan, developed by the aerospace industry, also says drones and other flying vehicles will become more autonomous. But experts say hurdles such as infrastructure and public acceptance need to be overcome first. The Department of Transportation also plans to allow drones to fly beyond visual line of sight, meaning the person controlling the drone cannot see it in the air. So we will see what this is going to happen. Where would vehicles take off and land? These are the type of proposals requiring new infrastructure in the UK. A mini airport was set up for 4 weeks in a car park where near Coventry in 22 is a proof of concept. And so we'll see. I always, when I lived in Hawaii, gosh, as the crow flew, to get across to the other side of the island would take me, as I had to drive, it would take me 90 minutes with traffic. But if I could go straight across, up from my place and across, it was like 6 miles or something, 7 miles. And I always said, man, if I could just have a helicopter or a drone, it would fly me across. I could save myself, you know, hour and 20 minutes, even if it was just 15 minutes to go that far. It would be awesome. Definitely got to clear a mountain to go across, which isn't that high in Oahu. I always said that would be just a lifesaver. And you have lack of traffic infrastructure in some places, man. But again, where would all those things land? Well, how about the parking lot at the office? I don't need to go to some transit point. Just let me land in the parking lot. Google Wallet is getting an overdue feature to help fix iPhone ticket sharing headaches. So Android Tipster reported the feature has been rolling out to some of his followers with several replies coming in access rights now. However, the feature doesn't seem to be available to everyone yet. And it finally will be able to open and use tickets and passes created saved in Apple's PK Pass file format. The improved compatibility would save Google Wallet users from needing to go through the difficulty of finding trustworthy third-party apps to convert the Apple Passes. Could also prevent users from completely giving up on using digital passes altogether. So that is forthcoming. Uber Australia is going to have to pay $178 million to settle cabbies' class action. In other words, the cabbies are becoming extinct and they're upset, and Uber is going to have to pay. Because Uber caused their incomes to be impacted. Why did they not together as taxi companies and put an app together that made it as easy to get a taxi and not be ripped off as Uber? Now, I'm not saying Uber isn't ripping people off, because some recent Uber rides I've had have been pretty pricey and almost to the level that taxi cabs used to charge. But apparently it's because Uber operated illegally in Australia during those years, despite laws that made it plain that only licensed cabs and hire cars were allowed to carry passengers for cash. So that was when they had to give, that's when they're getting this compensation. Well, today, the U.S. Supreme Court seems wary of curbing U.S. government contacts with social media platforms. So I guess arguments were heard at the Supreme Court Justice appeared skeptical of a challenge on free speech grounds and how the president's administration encouraged social media platforms to remove posts that federal officials deemed misinformation. Anytime, and this is my opinion, anytime a U.S. government agency asks any private company to take content down on their behalf, there's something wrong with that. The U.S. government should not be in the content moderation business. They should mind their own business. Keep their noses out of it. I don't care what these cases raise or who was involved or if it was political or not. Anytime the U.S. government or any government tells any social media platform, you need to watch this account, you need to take this content down, this is misinformation, which often later on turned out not to be. The U.S. government should not be involved in content moderation. They should not. Something wrong with that. Especially if it has the appearance of helping to stifle the administration's message. Justice Department lawyer Brian Fletcher told the justices the government may not use coercive threats to suppress speech, but it's entitled to speak for itself by informing, persuading, or criticizing private speakers. Well, if they want to do that publicly, great. But they should not send emails saying, I demand action on this immediately. Questions posed by some justices focused on whether the plaintiffs had proper legal standing to sue and how the government had caused harm. You infringe my freedom of speech. Again, I should be able to say what I want to say. I will have to pay for the actions of what I say. If I say does harm, it causes someone to, you know, do something they shouldn't. You know, I could potentially be responsible and held responsible for that. But I should be able to free to say what I want to say. Microsoft hosts special Windows and Surface AI event in May. Not surprising. It's going to be held on May 20th, right behind Build 2024 starts. It's an invite email to media. Microsoft's CEO will talk about the company's AI vision across hardware and software. The event will not be live streamed and be only open to journalists who attend the event in person. Wow. So, trying to control the message a little bit here. Meanwhile, Microsoft is now blocking Russian firms from using its cloud service. I thought they were supposed to be doing this for a while. Microsoft will stop providing cloud service to users in Russia later this week as part of the sanctions package imposed on the country. The company has set up a dedicated Telegram channel to support its clients, urge everyone to make backups of the data as soon as possible. Power BI and Dynamics CRM are some of the tools that will no longer be available to Russian customers from March 20th. They said that other major global cloud providers, Amazon and Google, will soon follow. Why is this? I thought this was already supposed to be the done deal. I guess not. There's a great article over in Ars Technica talking about his TikTok parent company, an agent of the Chinese state. Well, it may not be an agent of the Chinese state, but there's no clear line between the state and companies in China in the same way there is in the United States. Of course, unless the government tells you to do something, tells you to take some content down. So it kind of sounds like the Chinese way of censorship. The Chinese Communist Party, which is synonymous with the Chinese state, both owns and is the nation. And that goes for private enterprises too. They operate like joint ventures, in which the government is both a partner and the ultimate boss. Both sides know that, even if the relationship isn't expressly codified, So ultimately, someone can walk in and tell ByteDance what to do. If they want data, they will get it. And I bet you they have hooks into that data, and ByteDance is under no obligation to tell anyone in the West that they are. And therein lies the challenge, and this is why Congress is doing what they're doing. Time will tell how this all falls out. On a happier note, Rivian owners now will have access to Tesla superchargers. Tesla supercharged starting today at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12% Eastern. The company tells The Verge. News comes after several Rivian owners notice a software update allowing supercharger access over the weekend. So the Tesla made adapters basically for current owners. Rivian will send out a Tesla made adapter free of charge, much like Ford started doing last month. Closest supercharger from me is 27 miles. And then where the next one is, I have nary a clue. And this town remains having one or two chargers. Most of the time, they're broken. It's not surprising that doctors are turning to medical generative AI into a booming business. Ambient clinical documentation was talk of HIMSS conference this year, where more than 30,000 healthcare and tech professionals gathered. The technology allows doctors to record conversation with patients to automatically turn into clinical notes and summarizing using AI. Companies like Microsoft, Nuance Communications, ABridge, and Suki believe the solution will help reduce doctors' administrative workload and prioritize connection with patients. So we'll see. Doctor says, after I see a patient, I have to write notes. I have to place orders. I have to think about the patient summary. So what our technology does is it allows me to focus on the person in front of me, the most important person, the patient. Because when I hit start, I have a conversation and hit stop. I can swivel my chair, and within seconds, the note's there. A survey published by Abeneth Health in February found that more than 90% of physicians reported feeling burned out, largely because of paperwork. More than 60% of doctors say they feel overwhelmed by clerical requirements and work an average of 15 hours per week outside of normal business hours to keep up with the paperwork. Well, as long as they get the HIPAA stuff figured out and the doctor reviews it immediately to make sure that it didn't run home to mom and put something in there that it shouldn't put in there, that's my worry. How good is the summary? This has been part of our challenge, too, with building our AI when it looks at transcript. Does it run from the transcript? Does it go outside and grab stuff? And we work very hard to make sure that it doesn't. But I'm never going to be guaranteed that every summary is not going to have some sort of, you know, ghosting in there. I don't know if there's another term for it. Meanwhile, TikTok is paying creators up its search game. TikTok's leaning even more into app being used like a search engine. So TikTok announced a change that their search value is going to be one of four core elements that determine a creator payout. In other words, you've got to have good metadata so that people can search for the content. I'm not surprised in the least that they're doing this. According to the Register, cyber bad boys, girls, whoever, leaked 70 million files online, claim they're from AT&T. This data was allegedly stolen from AT&T in 2021 or dumped on a cybercrime forum over the weekend. Stolen file names include social security numbers, date of birth, addresses, emails, phone numbers, and other personal information. These individuals reportedly nabbed the personal data, and upon review, people say it's the real stuff. So they tried to sell this for $1 million and didn't get any data. At the time, AT&T denied the stolen data was legitimate. Based on our investigation, today information appeared in an internet chat room does not appear to come from our systems. Oh, that's what they said before. So we'll see. AT&T did not respond to this. So is AT&T responsible for this past leak that they said didn't happen, but appears it did? You know, I have a love-hate relationship with LinkedIn. I rarely don't have a contact to somebody. And LinkedIn does provide me the ability to reach out to people. But LinkedIn to me has become a spam machine. I just get spammed left and right. Hey, I got a deal for you. We do this. We do that. My number, my telephone number is clearly posted on our company website. My email is clearly posted. But yet people use LinkedIn for sending me all kinds of stuff. I don't go in there that much. I really don't. So it must be I'm not alone because LinkedIn is adding games. Games? Why games? Well, it's because Microsoft owns LinkedIn. Why? Why is it doing that? Makes no sense. But there's some code that's been cited that indicates they're going to add games. Come on. You like AirPods? Apple's biggest AirPod launch to date expected September. Two new models are incoming. Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. New models come out about every year or every other year. So yes, new AirPods expected in September. This should not come as a surprise. The Hertz CEO has stepped down following the Tesla EV purchase debacle. The company recently sold off a third of its global EV fleet. Following Hertz's disastrous misadventure with EV CEO Stefan Scheer is stepping down. He'll be replaced by the former COO of GM's Robotaxi Cruise division. Gil West will also join the board of directors. The company didn't purchase many EVs from the automakers. How many did they purchase? Oh, they had 20,000 EVs. I drove one of those EVs when I was in Phoenix last year. It was not a great experience. I told you about that many times on the show. Just from that one rental experience, I went and owned a Tesla. Rides like a brick. Rides like a Jeep. Tesla rides like a Jeep. It feels like a Jeep when you ride a Tesla. You get hammered. My back was sore from driving the stupid thing. I know some of you love your Teslas, but my experience was not good. Not surprising, Fitbit by Google's dead. Long live Google Fitbit. The branding has changed to Google Fitbit. I know many of you are Fitbit fans, but now it's Google Fitbit. Now, you know about bidding wars, right? Apple does bidding wars to see what browser is going to be in, you know, all these type of things that are different in our Apple platforms. Of course, Apple wants to bring Google's Gemini AI to iPhones. It's like Google search on Safari all over again. Apple's reportedly talks with Google to integrate its Gemini AI in iPhones, a move that could help both companies compete with OpenAI. Well, me, Sam, and Commission, Apple is lagging behind on AI. The partnership fits if you think of generative AI as an evolution of web search, something Google already provides to all Apple devices. Gemini could be the cloud generative AI engine for Siri and other iPhone apps. It's all about the highest bidder, ladies and gentlemen, at this point, that it's all about. Okay, so this can bring me very close to the end of the show here. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to do a show on Thursday. Then next week, I am out in Los Angeles for Podcast Movement Evolutions the whole week. So there'll be no episodes Monday or Thursday of next week due to me being in LA. But I am going to be doing a couple of live events while I'm in Los Angeles, for one for the new media show and one to demonstrate the product I just talked about today called VidDepot. We've got a bunch of YouTubers that are going to come by for the demo. So So I have a couple of things going on. I'll try, because I'm going to use the StreamYard, so I'll probably stream some of that in the channel. So just so you know, just keep you up to date here. But again, show on Thursday, and then no shows next week because of me being off again to Los Angeles for Podcast Movement Evolutions. Hey, it's been my pleasure bringing you show today. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget about our sponsor, geekinessential.com/GoDaddy. If you're not an insider yet and not participating in the Value for Value Evolution, you too should get a new modern podcast app at podcastapps.com. Just go over there and get one. Give it a try. Grab the Fountain app. That's the one I like. There's a whole bunch over there. The Fountain app, in my opinion, has gotten pretty close to the same experience of many other apps. And if you set up an account, I will send you Satoshis. All you got to do is send me your Fountain address and I will send you money. How about that? And again, think about becoming an insider and participating in the Value for Value, not for my show, but for of the 25 or 30,000 that are already engaged in this. And we want you to get on board. And if you know a podcaster, if you know a YouTuber that has a so-called podcast on YouTube, let them know about our Vid2Pod product. And we'll have it linked up on the website. There's an article about it that I'll link in the show notes tonight. And thank you so much again for everyone being here. We'll be back with you on Thursday. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. At Geeknews on X. And we will see you again back Thursday. We'll take care of you next time. Be safe out there. Take care of one another. Bye-bye.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.